not.
The Beatles.
Those circuses on the air.
And the president does it.
Sometimes you feel like a...
That means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. The Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Good morning, Mr. Dave Plyer.
And you know what? Have you been watching? I love hearing that Cubs. Still, it just rings in my head like it's still a dream.
I know.
Right?
I know. That. Oh, yeah.
Have you been watching David Ross on Dancing with the Stars?
I'm just catching up with the last runs of Leave It to Beaver. Give me
all
a chance.
Right. You're a little behind. You know what? I'll be honest with you. My mother watches it religiously with my daughter.
Well, I've got all kinds of friends that watch it, and
I just,
you know, they're on with Facebook and did you see this person and that kind of thing.
Yeah. But you know what? I watch the highlights because it's David Ross. I just want to see what's happening and stuff. We've been trying to get him for the last couple of weeks. I'm telling you, I'm going to get him before he gets kicked off. Because I don't think he's going to make it to the end. But I love that I love this. Grandpa Ross, he's retired, but he's going to be working for the Cubs. And then he's doing Dancing with the Stars. And then he's got his autobiography coming out in early May.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I love this. I love baseball in Chicago. I cannot wait. I mean, what are we, a week away?
I think
we're
a week, roughly a week, yes. Let's see. The opening day at Wrigley is in a week and a half, I think. It's a week from Friday.
That is really... I'm nerve-wracking because I've driven past there. Now, I don't care about what the... You know, last year, they had construction going on all outside of the field.
So
I didn't care so much about that. But looking inside the field, they've got some work to do, man. I mean, there's still trucks and stuff in there.
They'll get it done.
Yeah.
They better get it done.
And Josh, I told Roger this at the beginning of the show, Josh, my son, is now an ambassador, ambassador for the Cubs, man.
That's going to be great. He's going to have so much fun doing this.
He's very excited. It's funny. We went through, because you have to work 50 games, or 50 games or concerts to work there. And, you know, looking at, he's a high school kid. He's a sophomore in high school. Looking at his school schedule. He's got that broadcasting journalism thing he's doing at George Washington University in the summer. We've got some family vacations, school, soccer once fall comes. So we went through the schedule and circled, we're going to have plenty of games to choose from. We just barely made 50.
Did you?
Yeah.
With everything else going on.
Yeah. I mean, you can work less, but then you got to go through the interview process again. Otherwise you get rehired if you're a good employee. And so, he's pumped, man. He's in Memphis right now for a soccer tournament.
He's a sophomore in high school?
Sophomore in high school.
I barely remember that.
Yeah. Sophomore in high school, and he's been working 2 years already. Got his permanent eighth grade to start working.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's an ambitious young kid.
He's a good kid. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and he's in Tennessee. He's got a soccer tournament going on. So it's weird not having him in the house this weekend. I'm not digging that. Not looking forward
He'll
to college
be back soon
days.
Enough.
I hope so.
Well, college will be here before you know.
I know. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it. Blinders are on. I don't want to hear
Big
it.
Big time.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's get started. 1869, okay. Dave. Isaac Hodgson received the patent for the roller skate. It was patent number 88,711. Did you go roller skating as a kid?
I did it once.
Oh.
I put on roller skates. I got up. I went right down on the old tush.
There's two TV
shows.
I was
with my cousin, and she was going, come on, this will be a blast.
Where was it? Do you remember?
Where was it?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, it was out in Washington State.
Okay.
We were visiting with them, and I was sitting on the sidewalk, and I put on the roller skates, and I got up to stand up. Wang went right on down. I said, I'm going to walk now.
Hold on a second. All skate. Just remember that.
See, now, I have gone ice skating plenty of times.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right, Tom, what about you? Did you have you gone roller skating? You're a young guy. Is that something that you would have done in your youth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Going to Extreme Skate in, Crystal Lake, Illinois. That was my place.
Okay. See, there's a bunch still open. I was looking at this. Rink Fitness Factory, the Glenwood Roller Rink, I think, is still open. Rich City Rink in Richland Park. Lombard still has one. So does Linwood. So that still kind of happens. So for me, it was, and I'm sure for a lot of our listeners too, was the Hub and the Axle Roller Rink on Harlem Avenue. It's long gone. It was right next to the Maurice Linnell Cookie Factory on Harlem, Dave.
Okay.
In fact, the building is still there, and it looks like a roller skating rink, but it was a Sound Warehouse music store, and now it's some kiddie jump zone thing that probably needs to go away. But, the Hub was a big deal. It had this giant Wurlitzer pipe organ. My mom used to go there. Played by a guy named Leon Berry. The skating area was about 270 feet long. I think my buddy's dad still has like the admission counters that he bought at the auction when they closed because he spent so much time there. But when I went there, it was called the Axle. I think they changed it to the Axle Roller Rink in 74. And I went there in my high school years, and it closed my senior year summer. Like, I graduated and then it closed down. But I remember going there on dates and stuff like that, right?
You took dates there?
Yeah. Yeah. The Babes. No, they would play, from all this music Tom is playing now, they were playing Everybody Wants You, Billy Squire, that was the big one. That meant that everyone could skate at mm-hmm. the very end in the mid-80s. Foxtrot Millbridge Rink in Lyons, still open, 773. So thank you for that. Yeah, but there's a bunch of them still open. Love that. All right. Tom, you can stop playing the organ now. 1887, Ann Sullivan teaches water to Helen Keller. So she was just starting to teach Helen Keller sign language in 1887, all the way back then.
I got to tell you, the play, The Miracle Worker.
Yeah.
That was a play. And then the movie, who was it? Anne Bancroft and Patty Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Patty Duke. That's right.
You know, that scene toward the end where she discovers the water.
Yeah.
Boy, it'll get you every time.
Well, yeah, because you think about that. Before then, there was nothing. There was no, if you were blind, there was no communication.
She was blind and deaf.
Yeah.
How do you communicate with someone
absolutely
like that?
Wild.
Helen Keller was an extraordinary person.
Yeah.
And what she accomplished with those disabilities still is an inspiration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Great movie. You're absolutely right. 1889, the first dishwashing machine was marketed here in Chicago, inspired by Joel Houghton's 1850 machine that simply like splashed water on dishes and just shot water into a little box. He decided to invent a little bit more. So he did these wire compartments that held dishes and sprayed with soapy water. And then the wheel was turned by hand crank on the side of the machine. Back in the day. But it was only for...
I'd love to see some film of that.
Yeah, it was only for hotel zone restaurants. Like, it wasn't obviously...
It wasn't consumer.
1950s is when that happened.
We didn't have a dishwasher at home until around 1970 or so.
Yeah, me too. Maybe it was 80s, actually, for us. But the guy who invented them, that actually like really invented them, went on to produce dishwashers and started the company that became KitchenAid.
That was our dishwasher, KitchenAid. Yep. Yeah,
KitchenAid. 1891, the Wrigley Company is founded in Chicago, Illinois. The company was founded on April 1st, originally selling products such as soap and baking powder. In 1892, William Wrigley, the company's founder, began packaging chewing gum with each can of baking powder. So it was he made the gum to give away for the baking powder, and then the gums became so much more popular that it became Wrigley.
So it was a promotional thing.
It was only a promotional thing.
For the baking powder that he was selling.
That's right. And here's a classic commercial. I did the Doublemint's commercial last year. Here's a classic commercial. It's still the Doublemint kids, I think, actually, but it's from the 1950s. Let's take a listen.
Chewing gum is good for you. Now, which brand is the best to chew? There's one brand you should really try, and there's a very good reason why.
Double your pleasure, double your fun with double good, Doublemint gum.
There you go. There you have it.
I remember vividly hearing that
commercial, right?
In the 60s.
Yep. Hot Twins selling gum.
The gum, and it wasn't just Double Mint gum. I think they did Wrigley Spearmint. Well,
yep.
Wrigley.
Yep.
And then Juicy Fruit.
Juicy Fruit as well.
That was my favorite, actually.
It was mine, too, but now I had one the other day when my daughter had one. Oh, God, it's disgusting. Ugh. Actually, my wife also chews that Fruit Stripe gum, that vintage gum.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's yucky. Yeah, don't like it.
Gum and I do not get along anymore because it sticks to my dentures.
I gotcha. Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. All right, 1950. Oh, wait, 1930. Oh, gosh, I'm missing like a whole page here. Hold on a minute. Hold on, everyone. Hold on. Please talk amongst yourselves. Okay, here we go. 1902, the Electric Theater, the first full-time movie theater in the United States, opened up in L.A. Called the Electric Theater.
The Electric Theater.
1902. 1938, the Baseball Hall of Fame opened up in Cooperstown, New York. And you've been there multiple times.
Yes, I can say multiple times, twice in one trip.
Oh, there you go.
Got there in late afternoon, mm-hmm. and I said, we've got to come back the next morning.
About three years ago, maybe?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago. Oh. And so we got there late in the day. Got to see Ernie Banks's plaque and then came back the next morning for a little more time. So,
Very cool.
I've been there more than once.
I lived in upstate New York, and that's when I went and saw it. It was probably the mid-90s. But, yeah, it's classic.
Definitely
I mean, it's
worth
phenomenal.
A repeat.
Absolutely.
Visit. Loved
Absolutely.
It.
I want to take my son there.
Loved
Absolutely.
It.
1948, WGN TV 9 in Chicago begins broadcasting. You know the song.
The Roger Whittaker song.
Yes.
Who was the first voice on WGN TV?
Well, I want to hear the real song here.
Okay.
Roger Whittaker on WGN.
The ship lies rigged and ready in the harbor.
This is weird. I would never expect that song to be connected to that. But that's the song. That was just the opening.
Mm-hmm.
Play it over again, will you? Start it from the beginning.
Just the opening instrumental.
Just the opening instrumental is all they used. For a long time. Yeah. First voice on our first picture on WGN, was it Jack Brickhouse?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Jack Brickhouse. Yeah, Bozo came in 60, I think, is when he actually went on
right.
the air there. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But Frasier came over from I think the ABC or CBS affiliate. He started Garfield Goose at another station. Before Channel 9.
Now, that I didn't know.
Yeah, he started it elsewhere. WBKB, I think.
Which was now WLS TV.
That's right.
Channel 7.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was here a couple years before he brought it over to WGN. 1955, Richard J. Daley was elected mayor of Chicago. 21 years as chairman of the Cook County Democratic Central Committee, holding both positions of mayor and that till 1976. Daley was Chicago's third Chicago mayor in a row from the working class, heavy Irish American Bridgeport neighborhood on Chicago's south side. On the 50th anniversary of Daley's first 1955 swearing in, several dozen Daley biographers and associates met at the Chicago Historical Society, and they called him the preeminent mayor of the 20th century. He ruled Chicago, man.
Yeah, and it's true that, you know, I guess I could be part of that generation. I was born a year after he first became mayor, and he died as mayor when I was in college.
There was a decade there,
roughly 20-some years. But, you know, they had said that there was a generation that knew only him as mayor of Chicago. That's true.
That's true. Absolutely true. 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. And here is Walter Cronkite's report.
Direct from our newsroom in Washington, in color, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite and Russ Hodge in Memphis, Tennessee, Dan Rather in New York, Bernard Kalb in Saigon, Marvin Kalb in Wellington, New Zealand, and Bert Quint in Quezon, South Vietnam.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Police have issued an all-points bulletin for a well-dressed young white man seen running from the scene. Officers also reportedly chased and fired on a radio-equipped car containing two white men. Dr. King was standing on the balcony of a second-floor hotel room tonight when, according to a companion, a shot was fired from across the street. In the friend's words, the bullet exploded in his face. Police, who have been keeping a close watch over the Nobel Peace Prize winner because of Memphis' turbulent racial situation, were on the scene almost immediately. They rushed the 39-year-old Negro leader to a hospital where he died of a bullet wound in the neck.
Now here, Walter Cronkite is the man we listened to and watched for years. Anytime something happened, Walter Cronkite was there.
Well, yes, and the King assassination or the shooting was later in the evening. It was, typically we would watch the CBS Evening News or NBC News with Chet Huntley and David Brinkley at 5:30, as we still do, the network news. But Dr. King's shooting was around 7 o'clock Central Time, and then they broke in with that. And, I can remember watching that.
Yeah.
And only 2 months later, Robert Kennedy.
Robert Kennedy. See, I was born in 67, so that's all history books for me. It's all history books for me. 1970, WSNS TV 44 in Chicago began broadcasting. I think that's where I first saw Lucy, the Munsters, and Speed Racer.
Was that Channel 44?
Channel 44.
WSNS.
Yeah, long before it became Hispanic broadcasting. Yeah, exactly.
And that's where you first saw those reruns?
Yeah, because I was born in 67. So Lucy in the mid-70s was on, I think, 44, and Speed Racer was on in the mid-70s, late 70s as well. Oh, yeah, I watched a lot of those classics.
Now, I remember Speed Racer either before or after. It had to have been before, because after Garfield Goose, they started in with other programs.
Oh, Channel 9 had it for a while,
Channel 9 did, yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
And that's where I remember Speed Racer.
Go ahead, buddy.
I was just Speed Racer, of course, the Superman reruns with George Reeves. I lived for those.
Speed Racer was cool.
And now you watch those Superman shows, they are hilarious.
They are. But Alex, my four-year-old, I've let him watch some Speed Racer, and he loves it.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Absolute classic. 1980, the Chicago, Rock Island, Pacific Railroad operates its final train after being ordered to liquidate its assets due to bankruptcy. 1982, big time in television, Joni Loves Chachi premiered. Hello. I got nothing on that.
You got nothing on
that. I got nothing on that. 2003, in the middle of the night, on March 30th, 2003, Mayor Daley ordered city bulldozers to carve a huge X onto the runway of Meigs Field. Flights ready to land that morning had to divert to another airport, and the FAA fined the city $33,000 for lack of notice.
And I remember watching the following evening an interview with a gentleman who owned a plane, a private plane, that was left at Meigs Field. He was assuming that he could get out the following morning, and he couldn't.
He couldn't get out.
He was very upset. Yeah. He couldn't take off. The runway was destroyed.
It was the only lakefront structure to be built based on Daniel Burnham's 1909 plan of Chicago. It was named after Merrill Meigs, who was the executive of
Merrill C. Meigs Field. That's right.
Yeah, Chicago Herald and the Examiners in the 1920s. And he was a booster of Chicago aviation. I found a really cool clip when Mayor Daley was mentioning that he was thinking of closing Meigs Field. I found a really cool clip of Uncle Bobby here from WGN reporting live from Meigs, talking about its importance.
Well, Probner's lost this business jet get by us. This guy is probably coming into town to spend $3 or $4 million. And you'll notice this insignificant airport that's not at all important is lined with corporate airplanes. And I'll tell you something else. The acting aviation commissioner said, it's only another 10 minutes by car from here to Midway. I'd love to drive him on that ride, because I don't think you can do it. And I don't care whether you're talking about 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock at night, or any time in between. It just ain't going to happen. That's foolish.
We routinely come in here, and it's a very convenient facility, and our customers go right downtown. It's a very short drive.
So there you go. Now Northerly Island. Lots of great concerts happening there.
There are remnants of the airport as well.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can still see some structures that were part of it.
That's very cool. I'll have to check it out next time there for a concert.